This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Welcome everyone to the Liverpool.com podcast. I'm your host David Comerford and I'm joined in person this time by the Liverpool.com editor Matt Addison. And in today's episode we're going to look a couple of years ahead. We've got loads of expiring contracts for some very important figures of the club, the manager Jürgen Klopp being one of them, but also some key players as well. So the question we're going to ask essentially is it going to be the end of an era at Anfield or is it going to be the extension of the current one? So we'll start first of all, Matt, with the players. And if you look to 2025, you have three contracts that are all expiring at the same time. You've got Trent Alexander-Arnold, Mohamed Salah and Virgil van Dijk. I think we should deal with Trent first of all, because that might be the simplest case, the easiest one to almost get out of the way at the start. It was reported during the summer that Liverpool wanted to get that contract sorted in the off-season, but there's no sign of anything happening on that front just yet. We know that other teams are going to be aware of what's going on. You know, we're talking about one of the best right-backs in the world here. But surely there's nothing to worry about, really, even though there is a bit of a delay.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought so. I think it's probably one of those where Liverpool don't need to be in a rush with it. They probably know that it's almost an inevitability, isn't it? I know there has been a few links in Spain with Barcelona, with Real Madrid. I'm sure they'd love to have him. I'm sure most teams would, but it doesn't feel to me like he would be in any rush. There might come a point at some point in his career where he thinks maybe he'd quite like to go and do something else, but he's just been made vice captain of Liverpool Football Club. He's pretty much going to be captain at some point, isn't he? As soon as Virgil van Dijk moves on, he's the natural one to step into that position. So I don't think we've any concerns. I'd be surprised if this time, you know, in, you know, maybe 6 months' time, maybe we're sat here, maybe he's already got it confirmed and it's all done. But yeah, no worries and no real doubt, I don't think, about where his long-term future lies.
Yeah, it doesn't have the feel of one that's going to develop into a saga. It kind of has that sense of it could just sort of happen, you know, next week. And no one would really be surprised. It could sort of come out of the blue because maybe the negotiations could be quite straightforward and they actually happen. I think the point you make about the captaincy is really important too, in terms of he's got the pathway now, clearly, to be the captain of Liverpool, which you always knew he would be, but especially now being vice-captain behind Van Dijk. And there's obviously talk, you know, is he going to be here his whole career? And sometimes players want new challenges, and we saw that a couple of times this summer with Jordan Henderson, for example. But, you know, there's still, you'd be quite confident that he will stick around, certainly for all his prime years.
I think in terms of the negotiations, it's almost just him making sure that he's treated the same way that anybody else would be. I think there's maybe a few examples in the past of where players who've come through the academy or come through the system have kind of felt like it's been treated as an inevitability that they would just stay, and maybe they haven't been given the terms that they would have been if they'd have been, you know, a big money signing from elsewhere. So I'm sure him and his representatives will hope for that, but I wouldn't have thought that would be a massive issue. And like we say, we don't want to treat it as an inevitability, but it basically is that he's not going to be going anywhere.
Yeah, and you mentioned Barcelona, Real Madrid. I do think Real Madrid are a slightly interesting case with this, because I believe Carvajal and Vasquez, they have as right back options. I think they're both sort of expiring contracts in the next year or two, so they'd probably be aware of what was happening. But again, I doubt there's any expectation on their part that it can actually be done. I mean, interesting, you know, with Trent's salary as well, I think he is already one of the highest earners of the club in 2021, I want to say, he signed his last contract.
I think so, yeah.
Which is interestingly a four-year deal rather than five, which is slightly strange, but obviously there would have been a reason for that.
I think it probably would just come down to they do sort of weigh players in, don't they, as they progress. We've seen, I think Ben Doak signed a new contract recently, didn't he? And I don't think his last one was that long ago. It's more just the case of going up. It wouldn't make sense for Trent to do what Chelsea have done, for example, and have an 8-year contract, because then there's no incentive for Liverpool to increase that pay.
Yeah.
if you have a four-year deal, it kind of it forces that conversation.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. And he will feel that his performances have merited a further boost to his wages. And the top earner at Liverpool is Mohamed Salah, obviously, signed the biggest contract, certainly by salary, in Liverpool's history at the end of the 21-22 season. I mean, it feels like such a long time ago already. You know, I had to check myself there as I was saying it, and that it was only technically in the last calendar year. But the conversation started again. We're in the same position we were in when all the contract talk was happening. Salah was in this incredible run of form, and everyone was saying, how can they possibly not give him a new contract? Well, the same thing is happening. It is almost Groundhog Day now with Mohamed Salah. We know there was a bid from Al Ittihad last year. We expect there to be another one in January, and if not January, then next summer. Would you be trying to engage Mohamed Salah right now in new contract negotiations to try and ward off that interest? And if so, what kind of length contract would you be looking at this stage of his career?
If it was me, I think I'd probably do something similar to what they did last time. I don't think there's a massive difference in terms of his levels or his importance to Liverpool as what it was when we were having this conversation with, say, 18 months left on his previous contract. I don't think there's any real sign of, you know, you'd look at, you know, Sadio Mane has dropped off significantly. Roberto Firmino dropped off whilst he was at Liverpool. I think it's fair to say that the last 18 months, 2 years, maybe wasn't at the same level. But you know, there's just no sign of that with Salah. And I think for me, it makes sense that you give him an extra contract rather than cash in on him. I know there's a lot of talk of, you know, Saudi Arabia might offer an amount of money that is just too much to turn down. And look, maybe that's the case that it gets to those figures. But at the moment, we're talking maybe 200 million or something like that. I'm not sure you can buy anybody for 200 million that is going to be as good as Mohamed Salah, because I don't think there is anybody out there that can deliver the output that he can. The physical abilities, you know, he never misses a game. He's always there. It'll help this year that he's not probably going to play that much Europa League football before Christmas, at least. I just don't see that there's an argument, unless it's 500 million, or, you know, if there is a stupid offer that comes in, maybe have that conversation if he wants to force it. Again, I'd be surprised. You know, I just don't get the impression that he would be somebody that wants to go and play in Saudi Arabia. I have to say, I don't know about you, I've not seen a minute of Saudi Arabian league football. I've not seen any of the clips apart from the one where Fabinho just stands there and lets a player run past him. You know, there's big players over there, but I don't know. Maybe it's different in other parts of the world, but certainly from where we are, there's no real exposure to that. It just feels wrong, I think, that someone like Mohamed Salah would want to go there. I just don't see that being a part of his character.
And on that note, actually, I saw a tweet this morning that I just wanted to pull up when you mentioned it about the Saudi Pro League. The most recent game, we brought the lowest total attendances of the season. And the second lowest crowd was 210 fans in attendance for one of the games.
I'm pretty sure I've refereed in front of more than that.
A 25,000 capacity stadium, which is 0.8% of the capacity. So maybe it's a conversation that's a bit different in a few years when the league's got, you know, superstar 11s, not just superstar 3 or 4 players, really. But certainly at this point, I think maybe a little bit underwhelming compared to what we expected in the summer.
And next season as well. I mean, Liverpool probably are going to have Champions League football, aren't they? I mean, there's maybe a tiny argument that you could make right now that, well, they're not in the Champions League anyway, so you're not going to miss out on that. Probably at the start of the season, we were thinking they're probably not going to be involved in a title race. It's going to be more of a top four thing. I think maybe, you know, one or two perceptions maybe have changed since then, but there was probably more of an argument then than there would be next summer for him going there, unless something dramatic changes within that league. It kind of feels like a massive, massive step down if he was to do that.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, and part of me wonders whether Salah not kind of coming out and saying on Twitter that he's going to stay. You know, we saw that happen earlier in the summer. But when it was right at the end of the window and the height of the drama, there was no explicit denial. There was never an explicit "I want to leave" either. You know, don't get me wrong, but was he just trying to hold Liverpool accountable there in a way to sort of be like, if your ambitions don't match mine, if I can't win the Premier League, Liverpool, if I can't win the Champions League, obviously Liverpool trying to get back into that competition, then maybe I should be looking to leave. You know, what's the difference between playing here and not winning anything and going over there and maybe, you know, exploring a different chapter in his career? I think as long as he can win at Liverpool, I'd be inclined to agree with you that he would stay. Obviously, the money is a huge point with this. I mean, you alluded to it before, Matt. 1.5 million per week was the reported offer. I think that was from Sky Sports who said that. Obviously, that kind of factors in like commercial things as well, not just a pure salary. But whatever the figure is, we're not going to be able to compete with it. Even if they offer him 400k a week or something like that, it should obviously be a decent boost from what he's on now. So how do they persuade Salah to say, is it what I just said then, really, in terms of get back into the Champions League this year, maybe win a couple of things and show that he can continue to build his legacy? Or is it going to be they need to, you know, have to scrape together every single penny they can and also give him a sort of a pretty stratospheric offer in his own right as well?
I mean, I wouldn't have thought that it would have to be massively more than what he's on now, because, like you say, everyone involved is going to be aware that they're not going to offer him anything like Saudi Arabia. So if your decision comes down to how much money can you be offered, then your decision is not Liverpool. The only way that Liverpool can persuade him is they're back at the top of the Premier League, they're back in the Champions League, and as soon as they're back in, you'd imagine that they're going to go quite a long way in that and be instantly one of the favourites for that. Continue to rebuild the team. I think, you know, we saw Mohamed Salah was pretty much the only one at the end of last season to say, we're going to put this right. And he was the one that publicly came out and said that. I think as long as you make clear that there's a project there for him and he's a key part of it and he's one of the leaders within this, I just don't see any reason for him to move away. I mean, you know, the situation at the moment in that he hasn't obviously come out and said, I want to leave. Clearly that's not the case, but he's not completely ruled it out. That to me says he's not really thinking about it necessarily. He might be, but it's more a kind of a negotiating thing.
Yeah.
Liverpool have to be aware that there's that interest, and he's kind of using that. Him and his representatives are more likely to be using that, I think, as leverage to go, look, well, you've got to make a decision. You've got to put the money down and give him a contract of a certain length or a certain number. Otherwise, you know, there are other options. It's a bit like when the story came out that he would be willing to join another Premier League team just before, you know, he signed that new contract. It probably wasn't a coincidence, I don't think, that story came out. I think it was only a few weeks later that the deal was done and it was all over the line and they'd managed to get it done. So it kind of feels a bit like that to me. I'm not quite yet in the camp of I firmly believe that he wants to make that move now. I'm also not in the camp of thinking that, and to be fair, I don't think anybody is. I don't think anyone thinks that if it's not now or it's not January, then it's not going to happen. I think he could sign quite easily a 3 or 4 year contract at Liverpool and still have 2 or 3 years after that where he goes to Saudi Arabia. So for me, he's still a long-term player at Liverpool. Liverpool should want to keep him and do everything they can. But also, I don't really think that he would be in a position where he wouldn't want to be a part of that, because it just wouldn't really make any sense.
Yeah, we saw Kylian Mbappe got the chance to go there for a year and then basically join Real Madrid in the summer. A huge offer came in for him. Obviously, he's at an earlier stage of his career, but you just sort of thought to yourself, him saying no to that was kind of an admission that, no, I want to be playing in the Champions League still. You know, I'm one of the best players in the world. And
I think, to be fair to him, that would have made more sense than the Salah thing, because it was for 1 year.
Yeah.
It was a massive amount of money, and he'd get the move that he probably wants anyway and has been angling for a few years. I thought it was a bit of a surprise to me that he didn't take that, because the money was so big and because the circumstances were laid out in such a way. I think there was a much better argument for that rather than Salah, where basically if he goes to Saudi Arabia, he's not coming back to the top of the European game. If you go there, that's kind of him done at the age that he is. So, yeah, I was slightly surprised with that. But
yeah, and part of me wonders whether he just wanted to make absolute sure he was still in control of his own destiny, because it's easy for a club to say one thing and then maybe to be like, oh, we'll just convince him next summer to do something else. But we'll certainly have to see what happens with Salah as well. I mean, the last time he was going for a contract extension, he basically made the point that, yes, he was asking for more money, but to him, it wasn't necessarily about just having more in his bank accounts. It was about
him being placed on the same level as players like Kevin De Bruyne, who, you know, he's been competing with him for best player in the league, Mansell, for a while. And I think he just wanted that recognition more so. And I did sort of take him at his word for that. And I don't know if that's just me being naive. But we'll see, obviously, how much the finances come into it this time and how much it is to do with the competitiveness side of things. So we talked about Trent, who's, like we say, it should be pretty clear cut. Salah, it's a bit up in the air. One player who's not really been talked about as much in the same bracket, even though he is a huge figure at Liverpool, obviously appointed captain this summer, is Virgil van Dijk. He's also 2025 for his contract expiry. He's going to be 34 when that year comes around. Obviously, he struggled last year. It was probably his poorest Liverpool season. It's improved quite a lot this season. Do you think Liverpool have to wait a little bit before they decide what they want to do with Virgil van Dijk? Or if it was up to you, would you be saying, you know, what if we can get this done in the next, you know, few weeks or months? You know, let's just get it sorted.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
I think I'd rather get it sorted sooner rather than later, but it's a little bit similar, I think, maybe to the Trent one, in that I just don't really see him going anywhere else. Maybe again, that's a little bit naive, that maybe, you know, if a Real Madrid or a Barcelona came in for him, maybe there'd be, you know, a conversation to be had. But I just don't think that it's really a massive worry. I think that's why we've not really spoken about it much. We've not had many stories about it. I just don't think it's a massive worry. He's Liverpool captain now. That's a big thing for him. He's, you know, in a team where, not that he wouldn't necessarily have reached that level without being at Liverpool, but Liverpool's definitely played a big part in making him the player that he is. He seems to be really relaxed and comfortable. There's never been any serious speculation about him going anywhere else. It feels a little bit similar to Trent to me, in that Liverpool can take the time, relax, do it in their own time, but I'm pretty sure that there will be an extension at some point, because, you know, you mentioned last season was his poorest season, but I think we do holding to a completely different standard to anybody else. He was still one of the best defenders in the Premier League last season. He just wasn't quite at the level that he'd been previously.
And, I mean, if we look at his improvement this year, obviously he's missed a couple of games through suspension, which is important to be noted in terms of the samples and things like that. But he's winning 86% of his ground duels, which is the best record of any defender in the Premier League, and 91% of his aerial duels, which is the second best. So he's getting back to that imperious old self, you'd have to say. One thing with Salah is that there's no source of young right winger who's ready to take over the mantle. With Liverpool's defence, we know Konate is going to be a long-term part of that, but there isn't, you know, Joe Gomez probably isn't going to be a starter long-term. Joel Matip is probably going to leave at the end of the season when his deal expires. So do you think, from Liverpool's standpoint, until they bring in someone who's capable of being that long-term partner to Konate and that long-term answer, then really there's no sort of world where they would think about parting with Virgil van Dijk, because at the moment there is no kind of plan B except sticking with him, even if he is going to be sort of 10 and 34, like I say, by the time this contract expires?
I think the two go hand in hand, to be honest. I think you can have, you know, a 35, 36 year old van Dijk if you've got somebody else who can play a little bit as well and doesn't have to, you know, it doesn't have to be that he leaves and then somebody else comes in. It can be more of a gradual thing where, you know, maybe the new younger model comes in and plays a bit of the games that he would play, and there's a bit of an overlap period. They get adjusted. He kind of slowly eases himself out. He's still the captain. I think that was probably the idea with Jordan Henderson before he decided to go off to Saudi Arabia, in that there'd be enough minutes for him. There'd still be, you know, more than enough time for him to get his game, but it would be slowly reduced. He'd still be able to do the leadership stuff. He'd still be a big part of the dressing room, but it would just be, you know, a different type of role to what it was previously. You know, it's probably easier to do that with a centre-back than a midfielder. You can probably play, you know, Thiago Silva, the obvious example, but there's loads of players who can do that role, and they're intelligent enough, they can read the game well enough, that the lack of pace necessarily, you know, I wouldn't say it's particularly slow at the moment, but maybe if that did become a bit more of an issue, you've still got, you know, other pacey players in that back line. You've still got Alisson behind, you've still got, you know, a system, and I think the system really has helped him this season. The big difference for me in Van Dijk is that he's got a midfield in front of him that can function and can run. You know, that might be putting it a little bit blunt, but I think that's basically the difference. So I think there's definitely an argument to extend that sooner rather than later, but I wouldn't be in any massive rush. I think it's one of those where you kind of want to delay Van Dijk and Salah replacements for as long as possible. And if you can get somebody in the door early, take 3 or 4 years to get them to that level, I'd much rather Liverpool did it like that.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting, I mean, to touch on your points about the midfield, first of all, there were so many situations last year where he was defending, you know, 4v4s or, like, you know, 5v3s or whatever, and it was just like they were so exposed. And granted, he didn't handle the fundamentals well in some of those scenarios, but most of the elite defenders who he'd been compared with when facing that kind of situation, like, regularly during a match. And I think that shows you how important the protection is, really. And now that that's restored, I think, like you're saying, Matt, there's no coincidence that he's improved. And Thiago Silva was, you know, someone I was going to mention too, because I don't think there's too much precedent recently for players in their mid-30s, right, you're right up there with the best Premier League teams, you know, consistently delivering. But, you know, Virgil van Dijk is obviously an exceptional defender. The question with him is, how much does that injury that he suffered a couple of years ago limit his longevity?
The injury comes into it, but what I would say is he wasn't at the top level until quite late in his career. He was quite late into his 20s by the time he reached Liverpool and got to that level. And obviously, you know, he played minutes for Celtic and for Southampton, but he wasn't playing Champions League football. He wasn't playing twice a week every week for Liverpool for every minute that he's available. Basically, he plays up until, obviously, the Europa League this season might be a little bit different. But I think that plays into it as well. Mm. I suppose you could say that with Salah as well. He kind of reached the elite level a little bit later than maybe some of the other players. I'd be surprised, for example, if Kylian Mbappe is still playing football when he's 38. Maybe he will, but, you know, he's going to be playing for a long time at that point. He kind of falls more into the Wayne Rooney category of he's started to play so many minutes so early that maybe there's just a lifespan of an elite footballer. But, you know, for Van Dijk and for Salah, they weren't really late in their careers, but they were later than you'd probably imagine for lots of these elite players. So maybe he's got a couple more seasons in him than the average player might.
Yeah, interesting contrast there, because obviously Trent was a teenager when he became a regular starter for Liverpool. Van Dijk, I think, was 26, 27. And Mohamed Salah had obviously had his chance with sort of Chelsea, gone back to Italy, rebuilt his reputation, but then in terms of going back to the very highest level, yeah, you know, it was a little bit delayed for him. So hopefully that does, you know, prolong both of their careers at the top. So we've done the players. Now let's finish off by talking about the manager. Klopp has spoken repeatedly this season about Liverpool 2.0. He's used that phrase multiple times. And he does seem noticeably reinvigorated after this summer, which he probably expected to just be, you know, a few midfielders coming in, most of the old guard staying. But it ended up being basically a fully fledged rebuild in there with, you know, Fabinho, Henderson, Milner all leaving, things like that. Do you think that, based on his current demeanour, now might be a good time for Liverpool, who will obviously want to keep Klopp for as long as they can, to just maybe make some initial overtures about extending his contract once again? Or is it still a little bit too soon, given that he only extended it initially last year?
I don't think it's ever going to be too soon, isn't it? I think him, probably even more than Salah and Van Dijk, you just want it to be sorted and you want to extend that contract. I do think there's been times in the last couple of years, or probably since he signed the last contract, that you've thought maybe we might be starting to see the end. There's been difficult moments, I think, and I think that's understandable, but he does seem completely refreshed even, and replenished, and he seems a bit more relaxed. It's clearly, you know, rejuvenated him having different players, and it's interesting. I know a few people have mentioned it, but when he left Dortmund, the kind of thing was, well, you either replace the manager or you replace the entire team. Obviously Dortmund, I'm sure, probably in hindsight, would have rather have kept him and done the transfers to make that possible. But it does feel like Liverpool are on that path. They've got a completely new midfield. Even, you know, the players that are already there, Trent is there, but he's not the same Trent that he was when he first came through. It's kind of part one of his Liverpool career is done. Part two is going to be maybe in a completely different role. You know, there's other players as well. Even Salah is not the same Salah that he was when he first came into Liverpool. So there's loads of refreshment all across the team. It feels like there's a more realistic chance now in terms of, can you keep him can you get him to do another 2 or 3 years?
Mm.
It doesn't feel quite as unrealistic as what it has done at certain points. And, you know, when Liverpool have been low, maybe he's kind of reflected that. At the moment, it's a lot more positive.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned Klopp at Dortmund. I think another example is Pochettino at Tottenham. Obviously, they had that poor start. I don't think it was long after playing Liverpool in the Champions League final. Had a poor start to the season. Pochettino was gone by late November that year. And then I think they look back now and probably, obviously, they're doing well now. But, you know, with the turmoil that followed, maybe there was an argument that, you know what, actually, we should have really properly invested in that team and that manager, because they weren't really able to find someone comparable for, what was it, you know, 3 or 4 years afterwards. So I think Liverpool have probably learned from those examples in the past. And I do think Klopp's demeanour is noticeably different. I mean, last year he was... I think there would probably be a few journalists who could tell you that Klopp seemed a bit out of sorts, maybe a little bit grumpy at times. I think that would probably be fair to say. This year he does seem a lot more like the charismatic self that we've kind of come to know during his time at Liverpool. When he last signed the contract, I remember a line in the reporting that he was really enthused about what the future looked like at Liverpool, and that was one of the reasons that he wanted to stay. Then I think what happened last season showed that Liverpool were a club that had almost neglected the forward planet a bit. You know, the squad was one of the oldest in the league. It hadn't been refreshed properly. There was a bit of a brain drain behind the scenes, if you want to call it that. And all of a sudden, that logic behind his new deal looked like it was being called into question. Now, though, with that midfield being so young with the team, probably, you know, in certain matches, probably one of the youngest sides we see this season. Now it feels like there is genuinely reason to be a lot more optimistic about the future, that there has been an actual sense of renewal at Liverpool. Would you say that's fair? And is that the thing that's going to really make the difference when it comes to engaging Klopp in those talks?
Yeah, I mean, he loves a project, doesn't he? He likes to get his teeth stuck into something like that. And I think we're excited about it. I'm sure if you're there every day and you're working with these players and there's, you know, new people coming into the building, there's different people to have conversations with, there's even just, you know, on a social or a personal level, just to be able to get to know a different group of families or, you know, different people that you're seeing, I think is only a positive thing. So it feels realistic that he would feel like there's an opportunity to go again. He's mentioned, you know, a number of times that this is year one or year zero or whatever it is that he keeps saying about this Liverpool team, which that to me doesn't suggest that he's thinking in a couple of years' time that will be the end of that. I think that's me reading too much into it optimistically, but if you're talking about this being year one and you've already been here for however many years it is, probably, you know, an extended contract is something that has crossed his mind. And let's be honest, if he wants that, that's going to happen, isn't it? It's basically down to him if he wants to stay or go. The Germany job might come into it a little bit at some point, but again, I don't think that's something that's going to go away. If he doesn't take it, you know, in the next couple of years, then it will still be there in the future. I think, you know, he's spoken many times about wanting at some point to retire, go on holiday with his family, not think about football. But maybe there's a bit of a compromise where when the time for that comes, you can do a bit of Germany on the side and you don't have to just go from 100%, 100 miles an hour to absolutely nothing. So there's definitely an argument that comes into it at some point. There's definitely an argument that at times he's looked like he might be ready to walk away at some point in the near future, but I just don't get that impression at the moment. So I'd be disappointed if that wasn't the case now, that he didn't extend. If it gets to 2026 and he decides that he's had enough, I'd almost say something would have had to have gone wrong again, similar to last season between now and then.
Yeah, definitely. And even what happened last weekend, you look at it and, yeah, that could sort of dent the mood a lot in the dressing room, but it kind of feels like the kind of thing where it would actually bring the team closer and really kind of energise them for the season ahead. So even those setbacks in a way can kind of make Klopp even more invigorated, I'd say.
I thought you reacted quite well to it, actually, to be fair. I think there were times last season where if that had happened, then I don't think the press conference would have been, you know, particularly great. But, you know, he seemed to be a lot more relaxed and a lot more considered than maybe he has been at certain other points.
Yeah, I think he was also thinking about his bank accounts and maybe being on the touchline for future games with that one. But definitely he was quite calm in the aftermath of it. And you know, we're talking about a club last year, was it a game against Arsenal, he runs down the touchline, ends up doing his hamstring because he's that angry with the fourth official, he wants to scream in his face type thing. So I think we are seeing a calmer and a more charismatic club this year, and that can only be a good thing on the contract point, definitely. And yeah, if it is year one and he's not going to necessarily want to leave after year three, which is what it would be under that current contract term. But yeah, we will leave it there. Thanks very much, Matt. Thanks very much, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next week with another edition of the Liverpool.com podcast. In the meantime, remember to check out all the written content that goes up on Liverpool.com. And yeah, until the next one, take care.
You've been listening to the Blood Red podcast from the Liverpool Echo.